I'm Rebecca Ibarra, host of WNYC and NPR's Consider This, in for Tanzina Vega. This is The Takeaway. The COVID-19 pandemic has devastated the U.S. labor market over the past year, but there's a workforce especially vulnerable and largely unseen during this economic downturn: domestic workers.
Domestic workers cover nannies, house cleaners, and home care workers, basically anyone who works in the private home setting, providing caregiving or cleaning services.
That's Ai-Jen Poo.
And I'm the director of the National Domestic Workers Alliance and Caring Across Generations.
She says there's an estimated 2.5 million domestic workers in the U.S., the majority of whom are women of color and immigrants. Many domestic workers say they've lost their jobs because of the pandemic, and they've also had to weigh the health and safety risks associated with actually going to work. They often lack the same access to personal protective equipment that other frontline workers have. We spoke with Ai-Jen Poo about the pandemic's toll on domestic workers and what it's meant for how we think about this workforce.
It's a workforce that we rarely think about, and I think in the pandemic has become seen as more essential, as more and more families are just really struggling with their caregiving challenges, whether it's childcare or children home from school, or parents in nursing homes that have been ravaged by the COVID virus, having to kind of figure out alternative options. And meanwhile, we are in a situation where even before the pandemic, we actually had a shortage of workers in home care because the wages were so low for this workforce that people couldn't sustain doing this work. The average annual wage for a home care worker in America is $17,000 per year.
People often think about childcare in this context, but a large portion of these jobs are actually in elder care, right?
That's right. Our caregivers provide caregiving services across the lifespan. So there are nannies, but there are also home care workers, like the essential workers who've been working on the front lines through the pandemic, providing a lifeline to our elders and people with disabilities who are living in their homes. And oftentimes they're the only human contact that people have in the pandemic. These are some of the populations that are most vulnerable to the COVID virus itself. So it's just been, it's been really essential that the home care workers are out there making sure our loved ones are safe.
Do we know why this workforce is made mostly of women of color and immigrants?
The work itself of caregiving has always been associated with women and kind of assumed or taken for granted that women will do this work. But the truth of it is in this country, we don't have any kind of real care infrastructure. We just assume, we take it for granted that women will figure it out. And what we do have is this invisible workforce of mostly women of color who do this work as a profession, but are so undervalued and unseen in our economy. It's this deep irony that the people that we're counting on to take care of us and our families can't take care of their own doing this work. And it's always been the case. As a profession, domestic work has always been associated with Black women and women of color, immigrant women of color. And in the 1930s, when our nation's labor laws were put into place, Southern members of Congress would not support the labor laws that were a part of the New Deal if they included protections for domestic workers and also farm workers, both groups of workers who were mostly Black at the time. That racial exclusion has basically shaped the way that we've protected or failed to protect this workforce throughout our history. And it has remained one that has really been one of the main sources of income and jobs for many women of color throughout the history of this country. And we have not yet taken the big leap to value it for the true significance it plays in our economy and in our families. And I think that coming out of this pandemic, as we think about what it looks like to recover, to truly have an economic recovery that lifts up the people who've been directly impacted and impacted the hardest, that we have to put these care workers and our caregiving families front and center in our solutions.
What has the COVID-19 pandemic meant for these workers financially? Have they seen major job losses?
Immediately as the stay-at-home orders came down, there were dramatic losses in jobs and income. I remember in the second week of the stay-at-home orders, we had a Zoom call with some of our members, and one of our members held up her phone to the camera to show us that there was literally 1 cent left in her bank account. And that was a year ago. By definition, this is work that has to be done in person, right? You're immediately caught in an impossible choice between putting food on the table and keeping yourself and your family safe. And for those who continued to work as essential workers, they were paying out of pocket for safer modes of transportation to and from work to minimize exposure, paying out of pocket for PPE, didn't have sick days, didn't have hazard pay, didn't have health care.
In addition to that economic impact, domestic workers have also had to worry about their physical health, given the risk of exposure on the job. What can you tell us about that? What safety concerns have been top of mind?
Making sure that you are keeping yourself safe and that you are walking into safe environments as you do your work. Meanwhile, making sure that your children who are home from school and trying to navigate online learning have the care and support that they need. It's been a real challenge. And 80% of domestic workers came into the pandemic without a single paid sick day. There hasn't been a real access to the kind of safety net that would assist this workforce in keeping themselves safe and healthy through a pandemic like this one.
And why are domestic workers so often denied basic workplace protections? You know, protection from harassment, benefits like healthcare, you know, minimum wage laws.
I think that we culturally still have not adequately recognized and valued this work as real work. We still treat it as less than a real profession. And I think it's partly because the work itself has been associated with women and also because of who does it, right? Black and brown women, immigrant women who are also devalued in our society and in our culture. We still refer to this profession as help when it is a full-time job for millions of workers, and millions of families rely upon the income of our caregiving professionals and our domestic workers who do this work. And it is such valuable work. What could be more valuable than uplifting and upholding the dignity of our elders as they age and become more fragile? Making sure that people with disabilities have the ability to live independently in their communities and live full, dignified lives, or nurturing the human potential of a child. These roles are absolutely essential, and I would even say fundamental infrastructure, right? We usually think about infrastructure as bricks and mortar, bridges, tunnels, broadband. And now that we're talking about economic recovery, there's a lot of talk about infrastructure. But this is essential infrastructure. It is care that makes all other work possible. And it's part of the reason why we're hemorrhaging women from the workforce right now, because they are grappling, struggling to figure out how to manage care without an adequate care infrastructure in this country. And it's everyone from parents to daughters and sons of aging loved ones who need support.
What kind of protections have we seen put in place for domestic workers since the pandemic started, and what else is needed?
I have to say, Rebecca, that I don't have good news to report about what has been put into place in the pandemic. Actually, not very much. And even some of the federal relief that has been made available has not reached most domestic workers because of their immigration status or because they work in a cash economy and are non-traditional workers. So even the minimum relief that has been available has not reached domestic workers. And we just did a survey of domestic workers around the country and found that it is at a 40% unemployment rate. And so it's a full-blown depression. It's not hyperbole. It is a full-blown depression. And we need protections. We need better wages. We need sick days, paid leave. We need a big investment in our caregiving programs, putting money into the Medicaid system so that we can raise wages for the home care workforce, putting money into our child care systems. These are all essential steps that we need to take to address the incredible struggles that this workforce of women are facing every day. And it's a huge opportunity because it means that if we have a strong care infrastructure in this country, that is going to enable everybody else to get back to work. Hmm. Care jobs are job-enabling jobs, right? They not only benefit the workers and their families, but they make it possible for all of us to work knowing that the most important aspects of our lives, our loved ones, and our homes are in good hands.
Politically, is this an issue that gets support at all from both sides of the partisan divide, or has caregiving also become politicized?
Caregiving is a universally supported issue across Democratic and Republican voters across the country. Over 70% of Republican voters support big public investments in our caregiving systems to support our caregivers and to expand access to services that people urgently need. Everyone has a care story. Former First Lady Rosalynn Carter used to say, she has a famous saying, that there are only four kinds of people in the world: people who are caregivers or will be caregivers, people who need care or will need care. And I think that people understand that more than ever before coming out of this pandemic. It has helped us see that this is not something that is just a personal burden and responsibility. And if we can't figure it out, it's because we failed or we did something wrong. We actually need infrastructure and programs and public policies to support our ability to take care of our families while we're working. It's just a simple awakening and realization that has been catalyzed by this pandemic that is frankly long overdue and I think has to be central in how we think about economic recovery.
Ai-Jen Poo is the co-founder and executive director of the National Domestic Workers Alliance and the director of Caring Across Generations. Ai-Jen, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you for having me, Rebecca.
Are you a domestic worker? What has the pandemic meant for your financial situation and your health? Tell us about your experience by sending a voice memo to takeawaycallers@gmail.com or by calling 877-869-8253.
There's a lot going on right now. Mounting economic inequality, threats to democracy, environmental disaster, the sour stench of chaos in the air. I'm Brooke Gladstone, host of WNYC's On the Media. Want to understand the reasons and the meanings of the narratives that led us here, and maybe how to head them off at the pass? That's On the Media's specialty. Take a listen wherever you get your podcasts.